The Confessions of Arsène Lupin by Maurice Leblanc, narrated by Paul Spera. Edith Swanneck. Arsène Lupin, what's your real opinion of Inspector Ganimard?
A very high one, my dear fellow.
A very high one? Then why do you never miss a chance of turning him into ridicule?
It's a bad habit, and I'm sorry for it.
What can I say? It's the way of the world. Here's a decent detective chap. Here's a whole pack of decent men who stand for law and order, who protect us against the Apaches, who risk their lives for honest people like you and me, and we have nothing to give them in return but flouts and jibes. It's preposterous.
Bravo, Lupin. You're talking like a respectable taxpayer.
What else am I? I may have peculiar views about other people's property, but I assure you that it's very different when my own's at stake. By Jove, it doesn't do to lay hands on what belongs to me. Then I'm out for blood. Aha! It's my pocket, my money, my watch. Hands off.
I have the soul of a conservative, my dear fellow, the instincts of a retired tradesman, and a due respect for every sort of tradition and authority.
And that is why Ganimard inspires me with no little gratitude and esteem.
But not much admiration?
Plenty of admiration, too. Over and above the dauntless courage which comes natural to all those gentry at the Criminal Investigation Department, Ganimard possesses very sterling qualities— decision, insight, and judgment. I've watched him at work. He is somebody, when all is said. Do you know the Edith Swanneck story, as it was called?
I know as much as everybody knows.
That means you don't know it at all. Well, that job was, I dare say, the one which I thought out most cleverly, with the utmost care and the utmost precaution, the one which I shrouded in the greatest darkness and mystery, the one which it took the biggest generalship to carry through. It was a regular game of chess, played according to strict scientific and mathematical rules. And yet, Ganimard ended up by unraveling the knot. Thanks to him, they know the truth today on the Quai des Orfèvres, and it is a truth quite out of the common, I assure you.
May I hope to hear it?
Oh, certainly. One of these days, when I have time. But the Brunelli is dancing at the opera tonight, and if she were not to see me in my stall...
I do not meet Lupin often. He confesses with difficulty, and when it suits him.
It was only gradually, by snatches, by odds and ends of confidences, that I was able to obtain the different incidents and to piece the story together in all its details. The main features are well known, and I will merely mention the facts. 3 years ago, when the train from Brest arrived at Rennes, the door of one of the luggage vans was found smashed in. This van had been booked by Colonel Sparmiento, a rich Brazilian, who was traveling with his wife in the same train. It contained a complete set of tapestry hangings. The case, in which one of these was packed, had been broken open, and a tapestry had disappeared. Colonel Sparmiento started proceedings against the railway company, claiming heavy damages, not only for the stolen tapestry, but also for the loss in value which the whole collection suffered in consequence of the theft. The police instituted inquiries. The company offered a large reward. A fortnight later, a letter which had come undone in the post was opened by the authorities and revealed the fact that the theft had been carried out under the direction of Arsène Lupin and that a package was to leave next day for the United States. That same evening, the tapestry was discovered in a trunk deposited in the cloakroom at the Gare Saint-Lazare. The scheme, therefore, had miscarried. Lupin felt the disappointment so much that he vented his ill humor in a communication to Colonel Sparmiento.